Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hysteria. It's our special Thanksgiving episode. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh my God. We didn't even script that.
We did not script that.
That was so great.
But we got snacks going. We have snacks in the studio and we're feeling on one.
Yeah, we are. I'm on my fourth cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Grace Parr is here with me on her, I think, second cup of green tea.
Oh yeah.
Karen Deal's got her stack of snacks. I got my snacks. I'm real excited for this one. Not just to be, I feel happy. I'm so excited too. This week, Grace Parra and Kieran Deal join me for a very special Thanksgiving episode where we talk about your questions and we get a very special celebration of Hillsgiving. You all sent us the hills you'll die on, and today we get to hear them. We asked a few weeks ago for our listeners to send us in hills they're going to die on, and you sent in so many.
It's amazing.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Our Hysteria inbox is so overflowing with hills that you're going to die on, you petty, petty people, that I think we're probably going to make this a regular part of the show moving forward. So if you don't hear yours this time, don't feel like we, you know, are going to neglect it forever, because we might put it on a future show because this is so fun. We also have a bunch of Dude You Ask questions, listener submitted questions. You guys are an intense group of people when it comes to questions. Good mix of questions. So we're going to answer some of those.
Deep thinkers.
Here.
No, they're deep thinkers. These dudes are asking.
Mm-hmm. These dudes, and dude can be a woman or a man. A dude can be anybody you want them
to
be.
A dude is a human.
Mm-hmm. Human, you ask.
A human dude.
What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving this year? Do you have any plans?
I am actually hosting Thanksgiving for the first time here in LA.
What?
Which I'm a little nervous about.
Are we invited?
Maybe, actually.
So Grace,
we just
God damn you.
I paused and I switched eye contact too.
Yeah.
Because
and your voice also went up an octave.
Oh, maybe. I am concerned about seating because we have a table for 10. So we're good on 10. Beyond that, I don't know. I don't know about table space, I don't know about chairs. This is my first time conquering the turkey.
Oh, man.
So now the big debate, and maybe people can get back to me on this. Do I brine or do I not brine?
You brine.
You sure?
You brine.
Yeah, she has talked about brining before.
Girl.
Also, there's this, I'll send you a braised, a turkey thigh recipe that's incredible. That's like this braised stew thing that's incredible.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to brine. So this year I'm not doing anything for Thanksgiving. This is my first...
sounds like she needs an invitation.
Well, where
to a Thanksgiving, Grace?
Place.
So this is my first Thanksgiving in on the West Coast.
Oh,
and I normally don't go home for Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving falls during deer season in Wisconsin, so everything smells like blood. I go home and everything in Frederick, Wisconsin smells like animal blood. So it's not the best time of year to go home. I usually just go home for Christmas. So it's been a really long time since I've spent it with my family, but I have done Friendsgiving before.
Yes.
And it's really fun. Last year in Brooklyn, I did a cacio e pepe version of mac and cheese.
Delish.
Which I made up that day and it turned out great. And a nice side salad. I love a good take on Thanksgiving. I think traditional Thanksgiving foods are not my very favorite.
Sure.
I don't love a sweet potato.
I don't love a sweet potato. I do love stuffing.
Yeah.
I love a cornbread stuffing specifically.
Oh, that's good.
Which I'm going to be making.
You like bread and fat? So crazy.
So we are, Grace.
Karen, are you going to Florida for Thanksgiving? You staying here?
No, I'm supposed to go to Cuba.
Really?
Cuba!
4K.
Cuba!
4K. So, yeah.
Well, we're recording early. Today's my mother's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Karen's mom.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Hi,
happy
Mama
birthday.
Karen.
Happy birthday, Mama Deal. And last year was a big birthday, and we were supposed to go, and I forgot my passport when I flew home to Miami. So I kind of owe her a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I owe her a trip.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So
that's
are you taking your mom to Cuba?
That's correct.
That sounds so fun.
Just the
fun.
Two of you, like little girls, ladies.
That's
ladies
correct.
Trip?
It's her. It's her. It's a year belated birthday present that's now for this birthday.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
That's very sweet.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Cuba!
Cuba! By the way, I just used the phrase girls trip and then I corrected myself. I don't like the phrase girls trip.
Yeah.
It's like diminutive. It's like, oh, you guys are taking
a girl trip? Girl boss.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
you're taking a trip.
You don't call your I mean, there was a Reductress article that was like, you know, you don't call your husband. It was like, my husband's such a boy boss. It's like pointing out how ridiculous.
I would. Maybe that's why I don't have a husband. You're such a boy boss.
Well, it sounds like Grace is going to have a fun Thanksgiving and Kieran's going to have a fun Thanksgiving. I'm probably just going to, I don't know. I'll figure something out.
Well, we'll be here. Let's hang out.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah,
all right.
For sure.
We'll talk offline.
Yeah. We'll talk
at
offline.
Least Grace is making eye contact now.
Exactly.
Even though her octave is still changing.
A hangout I am down with. The seating, I'm very concerned about Thanksgiving seating. I will report back on how that works.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. Whatever. I don't care.
You're welcome to come
Aaron,
to Cuba with me and my mother if you want
to
come.
You're welcome to Thanksgiving. I'm making an official invitation offer.
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay,
yeah.
Well, we'll talk offline.
Okay, we'll
figure
offline.
It out. If it was real. I don't think it's real.
It's real. It's real. I did the math. It's real.
Okay, cool.
She looked real nervous.
let's listen to the hills that our listeners will die on because... So just so you know, we're going to listen to them for the first time. Caroline, our producer, went through all of them mm-hmm. and listened to all of them. And she selected a bunch of them to go in this episode. But this is our first time hearing them, me, Kieran, and Grace. Mm-hmm. And so our reactions are genuine. So let's get started mm-hmm. with the first listener hill.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Hysteria ladies. My name's Katie, and I'm from Tennessee. And the hill that I'm going to die on is that I think pumpkin-flavored anything is trash. So happy Thanksgiving.
Huh. I think that the flavoring is kind of trash for the most part.
It's... Well, Karen's take on the pumpkin spice flavoring just being like a delicious array of Indian spices is so dead on. I can't not think about that every time I hear people talk about pumpkin now.
But pumpkin flavoring, I think I agree with Katie that for the most part, when something tries to taste like pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin spice is different than like pumpkin flavor.
That's fair.
Like pumpkin icing or pumpkin frosting or something.
I'm okay with pumpkin. I like pumpkin, as a matter of fact. I don't like pumpkin gnocchi. The idea of pumpkin plus something savory, hard pass on. But pumpkin and something sweet, like a pie or a pastry, I'm into.
Okay. All right, Katie. Thank you so much for that. Let's go on to the next listener hill.
Hello. My name is Deanna. I'm going to tell you about the hill that I'm going to die on and be buried on and spend the rest of my life on it because it's truly the only thing that I'm passionate about. The movie Titanic, when the boat goes under and they have to stay on the little door, there was truly only room for one. If you guys watch the movie carefully like I do, you'll notice that Jack puts Rose on the door and then he tries to get on the door himself and it starts to sink and it cuts to his face for just a second and he has a realization in his mind that, oh shit, there's not room for both of us on here. And he sacrifices himself because he's a true gentleman. And she let him see her boobs a couple hours before that. And he is he's so blue and he dies because there wasn't room for two. There was just room for one. And I don't care what Mythbusters has to say about it. I don't care what people recreating it have to say about it. There was only room for one and there will only ever be room for one on that door. All right. Thanks.
That's genius. That's so funny. I agree.
I'm so into this.
she presented it like an essay.
For sure.
She broke it down piece by piece what the scene was, how they shot it. Let us know that it wasn't possible.
Character intention.
Yeah.
Seamless execution of that hill. I'm with you completely. I will die on that hill with you.
Yeah. I like that she said that she will die, be buried, and then spend the rest of her life on the hill.
I like that she said it was the only thing that she was passionate about. I was like, passionate after my own heart.
I love it.
That's great. Let's do one more hill.
So the hill I'm going to die on is that father-daughter dances are creepy as hell. They're not cute. And I did not realize how common they still are until my daughters started school. They just reinforce gender stereotypes. And they're unnecessarily exclusive for, you know, boys that like to dance, moms that like to take their daughters to dances, or just anybody who doesn't fit neatly into one of those categories. I definitely don't want to be a fun ruiner. I just want everybody to be able to go and have fun and dance. So this year, we're going to shake some shit up a little bit. I'm taking my daughter to the father-daughter dance instead of my husband. And my daughter's on board, and we are going to have fun. We're going to have a blast and hopefully open up some minds in the process.
Oh my gosh. Send us pictures.
Yeah. I want Please, a video. Yes. I want a video.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. I always thought that the father-daughter dances were like, even at weddings, I've seen them pulled off a few times where it's like, okay, that was not creepy, but it's like rare. You know, it's like a triple axel of trying to avoid creepiness.
I was just going to bring up the wedding situation. I hate it. It's always uncomfortable. It's a hard
I watched,
pass.
No, I went to a wedding. I went to one wedding where the dad is killer, like killer dancer. Mm. It was delightful. It was delightful to watch.
But then he should just dance like with somebody else, you know? Like, why does it have to be his daughter? Then it's about him. Like that dad in particular is a cool.
He can just have a recital.
He can just have a recital.
No, the two of them were so sweet because they were like, anyway, but that was a rarity. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was a little bit of a triple axel.
Sure.
It's the only one that I've seen where I was like, that was great.
Yeah.
But I understand this listener's point in terms of like, I didn't realize that this is also a thing that goes on in schools and shit.
That's fucking weird.
That's crazy.
That's some Arrested Development shit.
That is.
Mother boy?
That is very.
I thought that was like.
It's mother boy, but like for little girls and yeah.
Father girl.
Yeah, father girl. Okay, let's do one more before we take a break.
Okay, hills I'll die on. I do believe that women who live with cats are smarter than other people. A,
wow.
You don't have to get up on a snowy morning and make sure your pet can poop. They can poop in the box in your bathroom. It's a done deal. Second, they're always so happy to see you when you get home. And yet, you don't have to go outside and take them out to poop. It's all about being outside going to poop. I wouldn't go outside to poop. Would you?
This is a listener after Aaron's heart. She is collapsing in a puddle of hysteria right now.
First of all, yes, that is the name of the podcast. We finally got around to saying
yes.
I think that, see, I'm like a rare cat and dog person. I think I'm a good, like I have a cat that's like 14 years old. I've had her for like 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy having her. But the reason that I don't have a dog has nothing to do with the fact that I don't like going outside. And I have pooped outside. I mean,
I actually did suggest that you poop outside on the Kiss Cam in a separate episode.
That's very true.
In last week's episode.
Right.
We were.
The incest episode, as we're labeling it.
Oh my God.
Too soon, Grace. Too soon.
I do think that if you're a practical-minded person who wants to have a little buddy that lives in your house and that you don't have to take outside and do much for, then a cat is the smarter option. But I don't think it's the smartest option for everybody. Okay. That's great.
I liked her passion. Mm-hmm. I liked her passion about the cats. I am on a case-by-case basis with all animals. Basis with all animals. Mm-hmm. Like people, some are garbage and some are cool.
Yeah. My cat's pretty cool. She doesn't have a tail. She's missing one of her fangs. She's real funny.
That's cute.
Yeah, she's also a good individual.
She is an individual.
I got to meet her.
You should come over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanksgiving.
We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be answering some of your questions. Back with Dude You Ask. This is a segment that we had an idea of doing at the beginning of this podcast, but then things kept happening and we couldn't do it. And now we can because it's a Thanksgiving episode. Mm-hmm. So Kieran, Grace, and I are going to answer some of your questions. First one from Austin. Hi, Hysteria folks. In an early episode, you mentioned that one of the easiest things that guys can fix in their systemic mistreatment of women is to just put the toilet seat down in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, why is this something that it seems like a lot of people feel strongly about? From my perspective, either putting the seat up after using the toilet or down before using it is an extra step that somebody has to take. I don't want to touch the toilet seat any more than anybody else does. I'm curious as to why my girlfriend and at least one member of the podcast crew feel so strongly about this particular thing. Why is, from my perspective, the man taking the extra step to put the seat where the woman wants it more equitable? Help me understand. To clarify, I always put the seat down now because I love my girlfriend, but I want to understand why I'm doing it. Hmm.
This is a cleanliness question to me. He who smelt it, dealt it sort of situation.
Okay. He who lifted it must lower it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I will also say my personal emotional journey with this question has evolved from fear of falling down into the toilet if the seat was lifted up, mm-hmm. and also distinct memories of seeing, like, this is gross, get ready, prepare thyselves, urine cakes on the inside of the toilet rim, and concerning myself or believing that that's the place where that kind of thing happens. Now, as time has gone on, I've realized that women often pee on the seat itself too. So you can't avoid the urine situation, like somebody else's disgustingness on either side, you know? What I'm saying is that this really is a much more universal issue than I might have at a younger age thought.
Hmm. I think that, okay, I wrote something out for this, and I'm going to read it to you.
Okay, great.
Approximately 50% of the time when you take a shit, the toilet seat is down. The other 50% of the time, it's up. But for your girlfriend, it's down 100% of the time. That means that between the two of you, the fucking toilet seat should be down 150% of the goddamn time. It's the law of averages. Do you want to fall into the toilet when you are trying to take a shit? Don't ask stupid questions.
Wow. Harvard.
Wow.
Harvard.
Wow. That was, I mean,
a treatise.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I mean, I feel you and I appreciate that you use the word curiosity. I do. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. But you shit in the toilet and then it's down. Mm-hmm. The girl, when she goes to the toilet, it's the seat is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's always got to be down. The only time it's going to be up is when you have to pee.
Yeah.
So you take care of it. I don't think that's an insane gesture at all.
Yeah.
I'm with Gailey on this.
I think that it's
triggering.
I think it's a courtesy thing. I think that, like, you know, chivalry is something that people debate all the time. I think it's courteous for anybody to hold the door for the person that's coming behind them.
Sure.
I think that it's courteous for you to leave the toilet seat in a state that is the default state of a toilet seat, which
yes.
is a seat down. That should be how you go about your life. Like, if you're at somebody's house and you open the door to the fridge and take something out of the fridge, you close the fridge door afterwards. Like, you close the doors of the cupboards. You lock the front door.
If you're a guest in someone's house, you leave the room better than the way that it was when mm-hmm.
you make the better. You fold up the blankets that they gave you. Something. It's just, I think it's a courtesy thing. And I think mm-hmm. that a lot of times men go through life not being aware that other people are also human beings. And I think that to do that, to make things, to prepare the room for the next person who would use it is the courteous thing to do. That's my thought on that. Anything else?
I also think that we are dealing with a case of too much choice.
What?
There should not be a seat to lift up at all. Why do we have the choice of lifting it up or not lifting it up?
I think boys should just pee outside.
Yeah, they like it anyway.
Yeah, they do. They think it's great.
Yeah, that's a great solution.
I think all boys. So we solved it.
Yeah, we solved it.
Men should pee outside.
And there shouldn't be a seat cover to lift up anyway.
Well, in a lot of Asian countries, there isn't.
Exactly.
I mean, in Nepal,
because we've had to evolve to a place where we hover.
Yeah.
We're not meant to hover.
Mm. This is in your home. You're hovering in your home?
No. Kieran, I'm not hovering in my home.
It sounds like you're hovering in your home.
I'm not.
It's wild. This man is talking about a seat in his house.
Sure.
I think we've beat the shit out of this,
yeah,
this
I agree.
Question.
All right, I agree.
All right, question two from listener Taron. Hello, Aaron and the League of Hysterical Gentlewomen. Ooh, I like that.
Oh, I love that.
Is there a movie that you think would be improved or just would like to see remade with female leads? Karen, I'm going to throw to you. You're the movie gal.
I said Mr. T and Indiana Jones, specifically the Temple of Doom, I would like to personally see remade. I'd like the cannibals to be white people.
Mm. You'd like it. That would be really fun. Grace, do you have any thoughts?
I have two. I have a film and I have a TV show. My film is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
A female
Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. My TV show is Seinfeld with three women and one dude instead of three dudes, one woman.
Hmm.
In other words, if the Elaine was a man and then Jerry Kramer, George.
We're all women.
So you do have gender dynamic there. It's not just all women for the sake of putting women in, but it skews heavily female, and it's still a show about nothing.
I think I'd like to see Wayne's World with two women, like best friends who like to geek out on like kind of trashy music in Aurora, Illinois. I think that would be a really fun one.
Who's the male Tia Carrere?
Oh, I don't know. I guess Bruno Mars.
Put him in anything as a default.
He's so charismatic. He's so charismatic.
That's wonderful. I like that.
That was just off the top of my head, the Bruno Mars thing.
Really good.
I would also like to see America rebooted with female leads. Mm. The country.
Mm.
Oh,
I'd like to reboot the country.
Oh. All seasons.
Yeah, all of the seasons. What if George Washington but a girl? Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, it'd be fun. What if Georgina Washington? Well, there'd be problems there too. Okay. Question three from Andrew. Hey, ladies, I live in a red state and work construction. Most of the guys I work with self-identify as conservatives. The trades are also, not surprisingly, not a bastion of feminist understanding. For the current building project, we have a van pool set up due to limited parking on site. The daily practice on the ride home is to check out women in adjacent vehicles. People will call out certain vehicles, a woman walking down the street, etc. I don't participate, and in general, I let the guys do their thing. It's toxic masculinity, but I do have to work with them, and I'm not the PC police. About a month ago, we were stopped at a light, and there was a woman in an SUV next to us with her window partially rolled down. The guys commented their approval. One of them then tapped on the window to get her attention. She glanced our way and then refocused on the road. When that happened, I let them have it. I told him that talking about women he saw was one thing, but under no circumstances was it okay to actively bother anyone or to do anything to make any person we saw feel uncomfortable. He protested a bit, but I set that boundary. So here's my ask. What would you suggest I have done in that situation? What feedback should I give to microaggressions I see? Personally, I figure that I can't stop the guys from their activity, but is that just me rationalizing? I don't want to be the PC police, but I'm wondering to what extent it might be needed.
So twice in this email, we hear the phrase, I'm not the PC police. No, I don't want to be the PC police. Why are you so afraid of being PC? I think that there's a false equivalency of embracing a correct way to interact with women and this phrase PC police.
Yeah, but I think the issue is that people that he's around are people that would, once they identify him as the PC police, tune out anything he says. I think that he wants to not be perceived as somebody who is going around just willy-nilly trying to police their behavior.
Yeah.
Like he wants,
I understand that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a frustrating position to be in. I get that, but like I also kind of think you got to lean into it. We're just way past like I'm just going to stay silent on these things and let it happen because I fear my reputation being tarnished. Mm-hmm. Fucking say something.
Yeah, my opinion on that is like the best way to do the way that I have encountered things is just be a real sarcastic dick about things. Mm-hmm. Like there's this joke that's in 30 Rock that I think is hilarious, where Tina Fey's character goes like, now let's watch some Daughters and Moms. She's talking about going to a strip club. I think like making jokes about like, oh, hey, women are people, something like, oh, yeah, I wonder, ooh, whose daughter is that?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was somebody's little girl one day or someday. Like, gross them out. Like, make fun of the fact that they're leering, because there's something really ridiculous and stupid about men like leaning on van window, like, oh, and that's how I met my husband. Like, what is that accomplishing?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's how a stand-up would handle it. Like, if you're in a circumstance.
I'm not a stand-up.
No, but that is like literally like in a time when, you know, if you're in an audience, I think very early on in stand-up, I was like, oh God, there was like basically my like, this is, I've been doing it maybe 7 or 8 years now, but year one, there was a like a group of like youngish, like college bros. And like one of them just was like, oh, just like leaning in. And I talked to a buddy later and he was like, oh, you really have to use like whatever you have. And in terms of satire, oh, do you like picking on someone smaller than you? Oh, does that get you off? Oh, do you beat your wife too? You have a girlfriend, but she has a black, like a little bit of like the, what you're talking about is basically using sarcasm as a way to
heckle them.
Yeah. It's like you're heckling them. I think that could potentially work. I do think that Andrew's in a kind of difficult situation because it's like, if you are the one person in it, I've been the one person in a group of people, and even being sarcastic or something, then it's like come back to bite me in the ass. And they're like, we kind of think you're a dick. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's just like you say these things. And then when I addressed it honestly, they're like, oh, shit, I didn't realize that I was doing that. Mm-hmm. So you know the timbre of these people and you know the timbre of the group and that environment and that experience. So the other thing that I would maybe suggest is like, you probably know who your friends are in that group. And maybe it's like also a more earnest, like one-on-one conversation you could have. It's like, yo, that shit doesn't make me feel great. Mm-hmm. You know, like we live in a time where it just feels like it just feels outdated and like not chill, and I don't like it, and it makes me uncomfortable, you know. Yeah. Might be the other way to go about it, but not when you're necessarily in a group. The group setting thing can be really challenging, especially if there's like one person who's really like, fuck you, you know what I mean? Like, but
it can be, but I also think we have to remember that chances are, once that boundary is set, people are going to fall in line. And he mentions that he protested, the offender here protested after Andrew said something, but that boundary was set. I think what I would like to advise here is knowing that that first time that you speak up in a group setting like that, there will be some protest and there will be like some aggressive sort of like, what are you talking about, man? But that boundary is at least set. So knowing that it's unlikely, unless you are truly dealing with a psychopath, subsequent instances of this are not going to be as bad or as forceful because this group of men now is thinking about what they're saying. And yeah, it might hurt his reputation, but the boundary set. And I don't mind a little bit of like just a hard line stance on this.
Yeah. Or, you know, alternately, you can always like turn green, grow enormous, burst out of your clothes and go on like a Bruce Banner type rampage. Also, warn them it's coming. Just be like, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And yeah. Then, like, become the Hulk.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the other solution.
I do like that.
Yeah. Anyway, comic books. Another question from Ethan. Hey, Aaron and team. It wasn't until I met my wife that I realized how much women love when their clothing has pockets, especially dresses. It's true. My female friends and coworkers are the same way. They get ecstatic when their clothing has pockets. So my question is, why don't women buy more clothing with pockets, since that would be more convenient? Or, and the more likely scenario, why does the male-dominated fashion industry deny women pockets when they don't take anything away from the look of the outfit? Love the show. Thanks.
Okay, they do take away from the look of the outfit in a lot of instances. Second, I think, at least for me, I can only speak for myself, I'm constantly dealing with way more shit in my purse or backpack than a simple pocket could hold. So a pocket might help a little bit. Like, I might be able to put my phone in there, but the reality is, like, most of my stuff won't fit, so I'll need a purse anyway.
Well, I think that vote with your wallet for sure. Like, buy things with pockets. I have this one skirt that has, like, you can't really tell, it's kind of a fuller skirt, and mm-hmm. you can definitely, like, I went to an event once with no bag at all.
Wow.
Like, all I just put my like card and ID in my pocket and like, you know, a $20 bill and my phone in my other pocket, and it was like wonderful.
That's
going to
free.
An event without a
purse. It's good for your posture.
I felt like a man. Yeah. I felt like a man for the first time in this beautiful full skirt. I also would say that I know this is like a super prairie suggestion, but when I was a little girl, my mom loves sewing and she's really good at it, and mm-hmm. she taught me how to sew. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, you know, if you have access to a facility where you have you can use a sewing machine or whatever, it's not super duper hard to sew basic garments. And I would suggest that if you are on the prowl for a hobby that doesn't involve watching the news or finding yourself getting like hating the world, I think sewing is something that I would recommend taking up. It like the barrier to entry is not that high, and there's so many cool things you can do once you get good at it.
Here's my thing about pockets. If they're not just for utility purposes, they do keep your hands warm. And I don't know about other listeners out there, but I have very cold hands.
The hill I died on a couple weeks ago was that I want to wear gloves.
Oh yeah,
I want to wear just like a nice little like fashion glove around. But anyway, I think that's a great question. We all love pockets. And there was a joke on Twitter I saw one time where somebody was like, if a woman is wearing a dress that has pockets and you tell her nice dress and she doesn't respond, yeah, it has pockets, then she's a cop.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Karen, do you have anything to add to the pockets combo?
I think you covered it. There's a lot of surface area that happened. We could almost fit that conversation into a pocket. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Keep our hands warm in that tiny conversation. Mm. Okay. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, more of the hills that you are willing to die on and what we're thankful for. Back with more of the listener submitted hills I'll die on this week. Let's get started.
Hi, I'm Quinn, and I'm a listener from San Diego. And the hill that I would die on is people should not respond to text messages with just a single K. I don't know what that means. At least send me an emoji so I know what your mood is, or if you're going to be late, but responding to me with K. What is that? Try harder. I try hard in my text messages. You try too.
Quinn is a goddess.
She's got it. She's figured it out.
Yeah. What kind of sociopath is still doing that?
Girls who want their boyfriends to know they're mad at them, but don't want the boyfriends to know why. That's what Kay means.
People who are driving.
Yeah. That has to stop. Tell people why you're angry. And you can do it in a polite way. And it can be in person. It doesn't have to be in text. I get that. But
I would say worse than just a single K is a K with a period. Because a K, it's like, oh, they're driving or they're walking or they're in the middle of a conversation. They're with somebody and they just want to note that
that you've done it. Yeah. Like said something. Yeah, but if it's a fast interaction, I can see that. But I do understand.
K period, I think, is like K and then another character to indicate that. This is the end of my thought.
Yeah. I do like the phrase, I try hard in my text messages. I'm like, oh, I want to give you a hug.
I do too. I do too. I try. No? Sometimes am I a bad texter? Really?
I think we're all sporadic.
We're all sporadic.
I think it's sporadic, yeah.
We're all sporadic. A lot of us are just reacting to each other's I'll get messages like, Megan Gailey sent you 6 messages. Yeah. And it's like, she just put ha-ha in response to everything all you guys said.
I machine gun text. So it'll be like, I won't be around. And then I'll be like, oh, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and then I'm gone.
That's amazing.
Like Batman.
You are just like Batman. Thank you. Let's do another hill.
Hi, Hysteria. This is Kim. And my hill that I'm going to die on is when you bring something back from the dry cleaners, take it off the damn wire hanger. My husband brings home all of his work clothes and puts them in the closet on the disposable wire hangers, and they look terrible because we have these nice black fuzzy hangers. And I just spent 10 minutes going through the closet, switching them out. So just do it, people. Thanks.
Okay, I have a lot of thoughts on this because my big issue with the wire hangers is when you have pants or something foldable that are clipped onto the wire hangers, and then you do the lazy thing of just keeping it on the wire hangers, but now you've got these weird clips that are also attached to the wire hangers, so it's like a double fuck you.
Yeah.
I agree completely. That's a hill that I'll die on. But that also means that you have like lots of fancy hangers at your disposal, which I don't always have.
Yeah, I also think that that's a courtesy thing, like the toilet seat thing. It's like if he knows that she prefers that his clothes are hung on the nicer hangers, it's just like a nice, polite thing to do. If you know your partner prefers that, then just do it. It's like a sign that you love them. And it buys you a little bit in the karma bank so that when you fuck up, you can be like, yeah, but I always do this courteous thing. I put my clothes in the good hanger.
Kim has clearly invested in nice hangers. So because she has invested in nice hangers, unlike us, Grace, who are garbage people with not nice hangers.
This is true.
It's like, yeah, respect that. There's also this thing, there was an Atlantic article where they talk about bids, you know, with your partner. And it's like, so couples that do well tend to have the bids are a yes, like 70 or 80% of the time. And it's a way to say yes to your partner with a small number of gestures every day. And that's what makes kind of strong and healthy relationships, as opposed to like one large gesture, which is like, whatever, you know, it's these small things. And this is an example of a bid. It's a it is a way for your husband to say, I see you, you know, I care.
Yeah, I'll die on that hill with you, Kim.
Yeah,
I think that's a good hill. All right, next hill.
Hi, my name is Felicity, and the hill I'm going to die on this week is that vanilla shouldn't be an ice cream flavor. Vanilla is the base for all the good flavors, but vanilla alone as a flavor is boring and bland. I know a lot of people aren't going to like this opinion, but I stand by it.
I am one of those people that does not like this opinion. I love a classic vanilla bean ice cream. I love it. How else do you, what do you do with a pie that's a la mode? I'm not trying to put chocolate or churro ice cream on my apple pie.
Churro. Why is churro just at the ready as a flavor of ice cream for you?
I did just have churro ice cream a few days ago. It was great, but a little bit sweet for me. No. I'm marching away from this hill.
Felicity, I really like Haagen-Dazs's vanilla flavor. I think that's delicious and rich. But I would agree with you that there are a lot of garbage vanilla bean flavors. There's a lot of garbage out there. And that's what she's referring to. And I think that she deserves street cred for putting herself out on a limb.
I 100% respect the vitriol with which she discussed vanilla as a flavor.
Me too.
You, that is exactly the attitude that you need to have to march up a hill and just die on it. I thought it was
She was ride or die, yeah.
I just think this is like saying I will never have missionary sex because it is too bland for me. It's like, okay, I understand that.
It's not like that at all.
It is like that. Do you not think so?
I mean, I guess like, you know, until you've fucked Haagen-Dazs, you don't know what missionary sex can be.
Exactly.
Have you put vanilla ice cream in your vagina?
What I'm saying is that I've given myself Haagen-Dazs enemas before.
Oh my God.
Gross, weird.
And weird.
Gross and weird.
This is making me want to drown myself in churro ice cream. Do we have any more hills to die on? Okay, let's do more.
Hi, my name is Melanie Farkas, and here's the hill I'm going to die on. It's the stupid don't flush your tampons down the toilet signs in every public bathroom I've ever been in my entire life. Is there anyone under the age of menopause that thought it was okay to flush tampons down the toilet? Why are these signs in every single women's bathroom everywhere you go? I do not know anyone who has ever flushed a tampon down the toilet. Why are they there? I do not get it.
Oh, boy.
I have
that ding sound. First of all, okay, this might be, yeah, I definitely have.
Oh, me too. I thought for a while that those signs meant that you can't flush the plastic or cardboard applicator down. And I was like, well, yeah, duh. But I didn't know the actual tampon itself was also not okay.
Yeah.
For a long time, guys.
I think that if...
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
I always thought it was the applicator and the outside plastic stuff, not the
actual
cotton and goods on the
tampon. Seems like it's just an extra a wad of, like, concentrated toilet paper. So what could be so bad about it?
Yeah. I think... Well, you know, I think that if people weren't flushing... I think if the case were that everybody were putting their tampons in the garbage... then the garbages in the bathrooms would be full of used tampons. And I've never been in a bathroom where I've seen that.
Yeah.
So I feel like most people probably flush. And Melanie, I think, is maybe the only courteous person. She's the only lawful good among all of us. We are all chaotic evil.
But it's just it's also a weird thing, though, that, like, you can flush other matter down the toilet. But, like, if you can put a thing in your body, like, I understand the outside and the wrappers, but if you can put a thing in your body and it's fine, how can it not go down, like, a toilet in public?
I know.
And I understand when, like, the pressure is really low on a toilet or something or whatever. But, yeah, I do appreciate her willingness to go there on this hill.
I also think that there are, you know, there's a lot of places in the world where you can't even flush toilet paper down the toilet. In Greece, you can't flush toilet paper.
There's places where they don't even use toilet paper, where they think people who have toilet paper are gross.
That's gross.
But how do you, like, in India, people are like, how come you don't, like, wash your butt after you poop? they think it's insane. They're like, fair, what, Americans fair. Are just walking around with like little bits of shit on their assholes everywhere they go. It's disgusting. Who are these people? These disgusting people?
I think we need to destigmatize baby wipes. If we get the word baby out of there and just see them as wipes, we should all be using them post-poop. I agree with that completely.
Or like a mug. You have a mug in the bathroom and then you know, you wash your butt.
What? That seems...
That's a thing that exists in, like, parts of the world. I'm just, like, billions of people do
this. I've just never heard of it before. I'm not saying that it's a bad
practice. It's in Nepal. It's a thing in Nepal. It's a thing in India, South Asia.
You have a butt wash mug?
There's...
That's what people in Nepal have?
I've been brushing my teeth with that.
Is it like a friend of the pod mug? What...
It's just any, it's like a cup. Yeah, I like literal, this is crazy.
This
I can't even.
This is a real, like most Thanksgivings, this is a real toilet heavy episode in ways that we didn't expect.
It is.
We didn't it expect.
Is. I'm feeling a lot of judgment from you right now, Grace.
No,
and it's making me really uncomfortable.
I'm thinking through my actions. It is a moment of self-reflection.
In my grandparents' homes, like it's like every single home will have some sort of a mug that you could wash your butt
with. Is it communal?
It's like, you're using the mug, it's like a bidet. It's a bidet, but it's a bidet for poorer people.
Sure.
It's a faux day.
The idea, like, I did have a friend in India who said, he goes, you know, I mean, all of these Americans are walking around like you think you're the number one country in the world, but you're walking around with tiny bits of shit on your asses, just everyone, everywhere.
I don't think
like,
they're wrong. I don't think they're wrong.
That is a really, like, it's almost like a poem. I was like,
I don't think
wild.
That that's wrong. I don't think that's wrong.
All right, tampons in the toilet. Do we have one more? Let's do one more hill.
Yeah, that did take a turn. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Hi, I'm Heidi, and the hill I'll die on is that dry shampoo is weird, chalky trash that makes my hair feel more tangled no matter how much I brush it. I've tried so many brands and scents and a spray and a paste, and I hate it all. It doesn't help. So I refuse to accept that anyone actually enjoys using this as a substitute for washing your hair, and I will happily die on a hill with zero dry shampoo washing my hair every day. Ooh. Happy Hills Giving.
Ooh, happy Hills Giving indeed. But you know what? This is an living proof. Living Proof dry shampoo. I was the same way, mm-hmm. and then I started using Living Proof dry shampoo, and it is a revelation. Mm-hmm. Although, like, having really dark hair, a lot of dry shampoo, like, just looks real chalky.
Totally.
So I can understand that. But, yeah, Living Proof dry shampoo is really good.
I have an issue with the dry shampoo that also has, like, a little tint to it. So if you get some grays and you spray that stuff, I've used it a couple times. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I don't know if any ladies out there who get grays have had that same experience. You just got to go get your hair dyed, which is expensive,
Lean into the gray thing and have like a Stacey London style streak in your hair, which is the most badass thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'm looking forward to that. I do have like a tiny little patch up here. I'm pointing to my forehead that does get a little gray, and I'm going to do the streak.
Grow that
at some
shit
point.
Out. I cannot wait. I will like be there with a cake for you.
My gray day.
Yes.
Heidi, I don't think dry shampoo is great, but I do get lazy about washing my hair, and it is something mm-hmm. that I will use in a pinch because of the volume factor.
Mm-hmm.
But it also can make your head kind of itchy, over time. And I think it's better for your head health and your hair health that you're not using the dry shampoo.
Yeah, and I bet she smells great if she's.
That's why I use dry shampoo. Oh, that's why I actually think like going without dry shampoo just yields. You know, you just smell like it's not good. But using dry shampoo does make you.
No, she probably smells great
because she washes her hair every day.
Yeah, she washes her hair every day, so she smells better than Grace.
She smells better than me.
That's a low bar.
Tis true. Fiddle-dee-dee.
Okay, that's those are a tiny segment of the hills that we had submitted by you guys, but we'll be featuring more in future episodes for sure, because this was so fun and I love how petty you guys are. And
amazing.
We are
delightful.
We are sitting here losing our shit as we're listening to all your opinions about things that don't really
and
matter.
And learning. I feel like I'm learning.
Yeah. Oh, same. It was great. So thank you so much. Future Hills, hysteria@crooked.com. We will probably be doing more of them when we want to take a break. But now I think we're at the end of our special Thanksgiving episode. And rather than doing the hills we're going to die on, we're going to do what are you thankful for? So, Kieran, do you want to start? No, Kieran's not thankful for anything. Kieran, Grace, do you want to start?
Oh, goodness, what am I very thankful for? I'm thankful for a whole bunch of things. We had a couple questions about. We had that like text message question earlier. The can you send a K? You know, which is terrible, but it did make me realize I'm very, very, very grateful for texting because it's a way to communicate with my family on a consistent basis. And I realize that the older I get, the more I really use it for that. Like we send videos to each other. We send photos to each other. I'm going to be in LA this Thanksgiving and most of my family is going to be in Texas. So I won't be there. I will be there for Christmas, but I know that that's a way that I'll be able to kind of live a play by play with them. So I'm grateful for that. I'm very grateful for my family and boyfriend and friends. God, I'm trying to think if there's something like pettier that I'm grateful for.
Churro ice cream.
Definitely grateful for churro ice cream. What about you guys?
I'm grateful, you know, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my parents. I think my mom's an incredibly strong, dope woman. And a lot of like amazing, supportive women in my life and in my family and in all of you ladies. Just a really interesting group of people that you get to have really interesting conversations with people on different sides of, you know. That's the end of the sentence.
Different sides of the incest question. Yeah.
Different sides of the, you know.
Oh, you guys.
And that was me being earnest. Different sides of the, you know, and that's the end of my sentence.
Thus concludes
my thankfulness.
Well, I'm really thankful.
Oh, and coffee.
Oh, coffee.
I love coffee.
I would die, 100% die without it. I'm going to get a huge vat of it after this. I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to get another vat of coffee before I go home. But I wanted to say that I'm thankful for my Hysteria co-hosts. I'm very thankful for Caroline, our producer.
Yes.
And thankful for everybody at Crooked who's helped make this happen. There's a lot of people that you don't hear from and you don't see that are behind every episode. And those people, we would just sound stupider than we already do without them. I'm the stupid one. You guys are great. I'm really thankful also for friends and family, obviously, but I'm also really thankful for everyone who's listening right now.
Yeah.
You guys are so fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. You've sent us somebody sent me a cross stitch that says big dick energy after I said that Dick Durbin had big dick energy during the Kavanaugh hearings. Like, you are thoughtful and smart and funny, and we really love that you're so engaged with the podcast, and we're really happy that you're out there. And I hope you're having a happy Thanksgiving, and there'll be more Hysteria, a fresh Hysteria next week. Don't take no for an answer. I'm girl with a mouth that's overdone. Right, cause girls just wanna have fun. So Annie, get your gun. Give them what they want.